Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place will be from the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 36, and we're going to read the whole chapter of Jeremiah 36. And then we'll be reading from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22. But I will be referring in the sermon to Jeremiah 36, and I want it to be familiar to you as we will refer to it in the sermon. Also, keep in mind that in your bulletins this morning is an outline of this morning's message, which you will find helpful as you follow along and listen to God's word as it is proclaimed to you. But let us now listen to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way, then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah, and while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them on the scroll. Then Jeremiah told Baruch, I am restricted. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord on the day of fasting and read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who came in from their towns. Perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord, and each will turn from his wicked ways. For the anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. Baruch, son of Neriah, did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to do at the Lord's temple. He read the words of the Lord from the scroll. And in the ninth month of the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, a time of fasting before the Lord was proclaimed for all the people in Jerusalem and those who had come from the towns of Judah. From the room of Jeremiah, son of Shaphan, the secretary, which was in the upper courtyard at the entrance of the new gate of the temple, Baruch read to the people at the Lord's temple the words of Jeremiah from the scroll. When Micaiah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the scroll, he went down to the secretary's room in the royal palace where all the officials were sitting. Elishama, the secretary, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, son of Achbor, Gemariah, son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, son of Hananiah, and all the other officials. After Micaiah told them everything he had heard, Baruch read to the people from the scroll. All the officials sent Jehudai, son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelmiah, the son of Cushai, to say to Baruch, bring the scroll from which you have read to the people and come. So Baruch, son of Neriah, went to them with the scroll in his hand. They said to him, sir, sit down, please, and read it to us. So Baruch read it to them. And when they heard all these words, they looked at each other in fear and said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. They then asked Baruch, tell us, how did you come to write all this? Did Jeremiah dictate it? Yes, Baruch replied. He dictated all these words to me, and I wrote them in ink on the scroll. Then the officials said to Baruch, you and Jeremiah go and hide. Don't let anyone know where you are. And after they put the scroll in the room of Elishama the secretary, they went to the king in the courtyard and reported everything to him. The king sent Jehudai to get the scroll, and Jehudai brought it from the room of Elishama the secretary and read it to the king and all the officials standing beside him. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. Whenever Jehudai had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their cloths, even though Elnathan, Delaiah, and Gemariah urged the king not to burn the scroll. He would not listen to them. Instead, the king commanded Jerahmeel, the son of the king, Seraiah, son of Azrael, and Shemaliah, son of Abdeel, to arrest Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord had hidden them. After the king burned the scroll containing the words that Baruch had written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it all the words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned up. Also tell Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this is what the Lord says. You burned that scroll and said, why did you write on it that the king of Babylon would certainly come and destroy this land and cut off both men and animals from it? Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He will have no one to sit on the throne of David. His body will be thrown out and exposed to the heat by day and the frost by night. I will punish him and his children and his attendants for their wickedness. I will bring on them and those living in Jerusalem and the people of Judah every disaster I pronounced against them, because they have not listened. So Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to the scribe Baruch, son of Neriah. And as Jeremiah dictated, Baruch wrote on it all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to them. And then if you'll turn with me also to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible, the last verses of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, and we'll read the verses 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. That's the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in Jeremiah chapter 36 and Revelation chapter 22. Throughout this series in the book of Revelation, I have emphasized to you the importance of understanding the present relevance of this book. This book of Revelation, as we have previously said, is not just speaking of history past that took place in the first century. This book is not speaking of a time wholly future in which the events in Revelation are going to take place sometime down the road. But to truly understand this book, you must understand its present fulfillment, its present relevance, even now. And the verses before us this morning from Revelation are no different. There are some who say that these verses are speaking of a time of history past, that those who added to the Word of God suffered the plagues in the past, that those who took away from the Word of God, they suffered the having the tree of life and the holy city removed by God from their midst. As some have said, these words are speaking of a time in the future, that as these promises are made concerning the plagues, concerning the tree of life and the holy city, these are events that will take place sometime during perhaps a millennial time, or perhaps when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returns. But again this morning, as we approach these verses, we are going to approach them like we have approached the rest of the book of Revelation. That these verses, while speaking somewhat of the future, when they will have their entire fulfillment, these verses are speaking of the present day. The present day in which God is sending the plagues described in this book, in which even now, those who remove the words of Scripture from their Bibles, from their churches, they have God taking away from them their promised share as the Church of Christ of the Tree of Life and the Holy City. This passage before us this morning is a warning for those who live between the time of Christ's first coming and His return. Now, what do we mean by these things that we find in these verses? Well, the first thing we must establish is that as we read these concluding verses of Revelation, these verses, as you compare them to the rest of Scripture, are speaking of more than just the book of Revelation specifically. You notice in verse 18, it speaks of the words of prophecy in this book. You notice in the middle of verse 18, or the last part, it says the plagues described in this book. Again, beginning of 19, and if anyone takes away the words of prophecy from this book, the end of that verse, those verses, some would interpret to say, are only speaking of the specific book of Revelation. But as you go throughout the rest of Scripture, you will notice that there are similar warnings, and one significant place where a similar warning is present is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Now remember, we are looking at Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and the last author of the Bible concludes these concluding warnings concerning the Word of God and adding and taking away from it. But as you go back to the first author of the Bible and the final writings of his writing, Deuteronomy, the final book that he wrote, Moses, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 4 similar language and a similar warning for the Old Testament people of his day. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1 reads, "Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you. Do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." Again, we see in verse 2 a warning about those who add to the Scriptures and those who subtract from the Scriptures. In verse 1, we're reminded of the blessing to those who obey the Scriptures and where they will be, possession in the land that God has for them. And if they fail to obey the Scriptures, if they fail by adding to them or subtracting to them, they will be removed from that place that God has, that earthly dwelling on the land that God has for them. The similar warning is found at the very last book of the Bible. We see it in our verses this morning. Do not add to the Scriptures, do not take away from the Scriptures, lest the land, the eternal land Revelation is speaking of, the fulfilled land from Deuteronomy and the Old Testament, that will be removed from you, is the promised warning and the promised plague. So these verses are telling us, Deuteronomy chapter 4, Revelation chapter 22, that this warning is not just about specifically the book of Revelation, although it means that too. This warning is about anyone who takes away or who adds to the Word of God. And as you go through the history of the Scriptures and the history of God's speaking to mankind, we see that this is the same thing that has taken place from the very beginning of the world. For in the garden, God said to Adam and Eve, that they could eat of any tree of the garden, but not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, lest they surely die. As the snake approached Eve, the snake said through Satan, his master, "You will not surely die," taking away from the Word of God. "You will surely die," God says. Satan says, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He added to God's word. He goes on to tell them that when you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened. God didn't say that. You will be like God. God didn't say that. You will know good and evil. God didn't say that when he instructed them. That is what Satan has been doing from the very beginning. The communication between God and his people. He adds to it. He takes away from it. He seeks to destroy that very word of God that God gives to his people. And his people throughout the Scriptures are warned. Do not listen. Do not take away. Do not add, but follow the scriptures, the word of God that I give to you. Think about how this continued throughout the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, of course, their first five books were these five books of Moses. And later on, during the kingdom era, they added their own commentary, the Midrash, to the law of God, in which they added the words, the requirements that the priests and the religious people thought that they needed to hear and they needed to be reminded of. Think of the time in the New Testament era where it had gotten so bad that the scribes and the Pharisees had written their own commentaries, their own laws, adding to the law of God, even accusing Jesus, God's Son, of not following their laws, adding to the Word of God. They put him on the cross because he would not follow their additional laws, their additional words. They continued to attack his apostles, his disciples, as our Lord died and rose again and they proclaimed his message, they continued to discredit them and attack them and accuse them of not following their laws, their traditions, their additions to the God's word. We think of this taking place throughout church history. Think of Muhammad in 500 to 600 AD, who added the Quran to the Word of God, his own scriptures, which he believed came from God, adding to the Word of God, leading people away from Christ and salvation. Think of the Roman Catholic Church, who in the Middle Ages added the Word of God, adding additional requirements, additional things that people had to do, like indulgences or praying to Mary or whatever it was, adding these things to the Word of God. Think of our last centuries in which the cults such as the Jehovah Witnesses have taken the Bible and added words to their own Bibles, which they seek to follow and instruct and teach. Think of the Mormons and Joseph Smith who believed that God had spoken to him and given him this Book of Mormon, which was in addition to the Scriptures and the Word of God. This adding to the Word of God has gone on throughout church history, throughout biblical history, and it goes on to this very day. Think of those who have sought throughout biblical history and church history to subtract from the Word of God. Think of those Old Testament prophets, one example we have just read, in which people heard the Word of God and kings and people rejected the words that they spoke. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They put the prophets in prison or forced them into hiding, for they did not want to hear the message that God had for them, the message calling them to repent. Think of our Lord and the apostles and the prophets who were rejected with the coming of Christ, putting our Savior and His disciples to death for their witness that salvation had come, the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures had come in Jesus Christ. Yet they didn't want to hear it. They wanted to remove it from their midst. They wanted to remove it from among their synagogues and those who heard such things. Think of the time in the Reformation, or following the Reformation, which brought the Word of God back to the people, and yet the rationalism seeking to take away the supernatural acts of Scripture, saying did not happen. Think of the evolutionary theory, which sought to discredit the words of the Bible concerning the truth of God creating the world. Think of the last century. Those who have believed the errors of modernism, and today postmodernism, taking away the portions of Scripture that they do not want to hear or they do not believe is truth, thus making truth relative. What people believe is true is what truth is, not what the Bible tells us. Today, there are many liberal seminaries who attack the Scriptures by saying that certain portions of the Scriptures are true, certain portions are not true and ought to be removed from the Bible. Think of the churches today that will preach and emphasize certain portions of the Bible which go along with what they think the church should be, but reject the faithful preaching of the Christ that is revealed in the Scriptures. The adding and the removing of the Scriptures takes place all throughout biblical history and all throughout church history. And what does the biblical history tell us about those who do such things? For our scripture reading this morning, I read to you from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 36, the events in chapter 36 take place with Nebuchadnezzar at the doorstep of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar has destroyed the Assyrians. He has defeated the Egyptians. He has defeated the Philistines. And now he has turned his sights in Jeremiah 36 toward Jerusalem. God sends his prophet to speak to the people, to have him and what God has to say to them dictate it down through Baruch on a scroll, calling the people to repentance. As Nebuchadnezzar is on their doorstep, this powerful king, God is calling them to turn unto him and to believe in him and to turn from their wicked ways. Yet the king, when given these scriptures, this word of God from Jeremiah, he takes his knife and he cuts up the scroll as it's read and he throws it into the fire. And he seeks to destroy this word of God, these words which he does not want to hear, these words which he does not believe. And he seeks to have God's prophet and the one who wrote these words down, Baruch, he seeks to have them arrested and put away. Because he sought to remove the word of God, because he sought not to pay attention to God's warning, the curses of God, the plagues of God are given to him. We're told that he will no longer be king. We are told that his descendants will no longer be king. We are told that God will punish him and his children and his attendants for their wickedness and their rejection of his word. We are told that Nebuchadnezzar will come and take him captive, and thus God will put another king on the throne, and he will be removed from the promises of the land that God had given his people and to his king so many years before. This is the end of the Old Testament kingdom of God. The warning was given in Deuteronomy: do not take away or add to the words of this book. Do not take away or add to the word of God when it comes to you. This king did not heed those words. This king cut up those words and burned those words. This king suffered the effect and the curses that God had pronounced for those who do such things. But now, as we come to Revelation chapter 22, as we come to the very end of the scriptures, we approach these verses recognizing that these verses are consistent with what we have seen in the rest of Scripture. They don't come out of nowhere. They're not limited to just this last book of the Bible as if this warning is just something tacked on to the end. These words, this warning, is consistent with what took place in the Old Testament and what took place throughout all the Scriptures. And these words, these warnings, are relevant for you, the church, today. These warnings are not about something that's taken place already in the past. These warnings are not about something that will take place someday in the future, but it doesn't affect you. This warning in verse 18 is speaking about what you have heard about and read about in this book of Revelation, time after time in this sermon series. God warns us. Christ warns us in verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Those who hear the words of what takes place in Revelation, this is a warning. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Anyone who adds to the word of God, anyone who takes the word of God and adds their own doctrine, adds their own teaching, strives to bring about people away from the truth of God, they will suffer the plagues described in this book. In this sermon this morning, you have heard how this has taken place in biblical history and in church history. And it continues to take place to this very day. We have seen in the book of Revelation a person described as the false prophet. The false prophet that seeks to take people, the people of the world's attention away from the true God and to put it on earthly things and earthly kingdoms. We have seen God's response in the plagues described, which have brought about his wrath against mankind. Whether it is the locusts of chapter 9, where the unbeliever is put before him the pleasures of this world, but the scorpion's tail stings him and jabs him again and again as he suffers the pain and ultimate unbelief of following earthly things and pursuing earthly goals apart from God. Revelation 15 and 16 speaks of the seven plagues, the painful sores of illness and disease which have come upon mankind, the natural disasters, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the tsunamis, the power of God being displayed on land and sea, the horrible killing that takes place in the wars that have taken place in this world as nation has fought nation, the drying up of the river Euphrates, the boundary between the people of God and the unbelieving world, and the unbelieving world rushes in because they see that believing community and they think they see their chance to attack the people of God and the believers. But only by that plague being gathered for their own ultimate destruction on the day of Armageddon. These are the plagues of Revelation. And throughout this book, we have repeatedly pointed out that the wrath of God, the plagues of God, are being revealed against mankind. And now we're told in verse 18 that God is responding to those in our world who add to the word of God. God is responding in the world, in the present day, by sending these plagues of his wrath, punishing them for their wickedness in adding to his word, reminding the church that we must not add to the scriptures that God has given us, but follow them and believe them and serve him. But as you go on to verse 19, we're reminded in the second verse of those who take away from the book of prophecy. We were reminded in verse 18 of those who add to the scriptures. Verse 19 speaks of those who remove parts of the scriptures. Those who say the creation of the world did not take place as the Bible said, but an evolutionary process. Those who look at their Bibles, like Thomas Jefferson did in his version of the Bible, and say that the miracles didn't happen. The resurrection from the grave, we've never seen anything like that. It can't be proven. How do we know it's true? The pressure that churches face today in terms of holding true to what the Bible actually tells us. Does the Bible really say that you need to have biblical grounds for divorce? Why do you need that? I don't like that part. Does the Bible really say that sex outside of marriage is gone, or that is wrong or that homosexuality is really sin? Does it really say that? How do we know that the Apostle Paul or the authors of those passages aren't speaking just to their day and not to ours? And instead of reading the Bible for what it says and for the truth that it speaks of, people pick and choose what they want to believe and the parts that they want to follow that they believe it is saying. And so, like the Old Testament king, when the words of the Bible are given concerning the future judgment of God and the salvation that is found when you turn and repent and look unto Christ for salvation, instead of heeding that message and doing as the scribes wanted to do, people today, like that Old Testament king, take their Bibles and whether physically or mentally, they cut up the parts they don't like or they don't want to follow, and they burn them in the fire pit because they don't like what it says. Think today of the churches who emphasize certain parts of Scripture but not others for the purpose of emphasizing their social agendas or their political agendas. They emphasize and preach about those things, leaving out the gospel and salvation, which is found in Christ alone. Those things aren't talked about. Those things and what Christ did in his death and resurrection are not proclaimed and spoken of. And what happens is what God said in verse 19. God will take away from them that visible church of Christ. They will be removed from the tree of life and the holy city. The promises given to that verbal church, to that visible church of Christ, those promises will no longer be with them, for they have rejected the Christ, the salvation of God, which is given in the Scriptures. This message, this warning, is a very serious warning that God has for us. And as this week we heard the news of the WikiLeaks and the top secret documents which came out, certain parts of these documents people say are true. Certain other parts, some people say, are not true. We see one of the responses is that certain people emphasize certain parts of those documents, wanting to emphasize what they say here. But other parts, people say, let's not emphasize that. That's not part of what we want to say or to report. Sadly, the Scriptures are dealt with the same way today. Certain parts people say are true. Certain parts people say aren't true. Certain parts people emphasize for their own agendas or their own purposes. Certain parts they de-emphasize and don't mention because they don't like what it says. This is how the Word of God is treated today. And this is why this warning is put here in the book of Revelation. God is calling us to look unto our Savior who spoke these words. Our Savior, who is the Word that became flesh, speaks these words because these are His words. And when we reject the words of Scripture, when we reject the Word of God or add to the Word of God, we have brought harm to the very Savior who is behind these words. This is a serious warning. This is a relevant warning. This is the closing warning of all the Scriptures. And God is calling us this morning to heed this warning. Do not add to His Word. Do not take away to his word, but believe his word. Turn to his word. Turn to our Savior, who is that word, that we may find the tree of life and the holy city, which comes only through him, and the plagues described in this book, while they are present in this world, those eternal judgments of God will not fall on us, but eternal life to all those who heed these words. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the reminder that we find here concerning your word. And Lord, as we live our lives, even now, we see how the world around us seeks to either add to your word or to remove that word from their midst. And yet, Lord, as we've learned in the book of Revelation, we see how you have responded and continue to respond over and over again to the disregard for your word. Yet instead of turning unto you and looking for salvation, even though you tell us in your word and warn us about these things, people fail to look unto you. Lord, may your spirit be at work in our hearts, that Christ and the word of God would always be at the center of our lives, that even in our own minds we would not dismiss certain parts of the scriptures which call us to repentance or instruct us concerning what is right and wrong and glorifying to you, but that all the scriptures would be present in our lives, that Lord, when they call us to change our lives or behavior, we would heed those warnings. Lord, that we would cling to our Savior and turn in repentance unto him, finding salvation and grace and deliverance in him, which comes even now, which is for all eternity. Grant us this, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.